All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of RX Radio, brought to you as always, well, not as always, since we started, prescript.com, PRE-CRIPT.com.
Yes,
head over there for all your movement, corrective movement needs. New program is out. It's powerlifting specific. So this is more like a global approach. So right now we have upper body, lower body overhaul and reset on our midline strength program. The powerlifting specific covers all of that. So, you know, you're looking at like two recovery days a week and then your framework around your squat, bench and deadlifts. So just to make sure that we're sort of covering all bases. So specific to powerlifting, because it's what I found maybe working with hundreds and hundreds of powerlifters by now. These are the movement patterns that are deficient, and these are the ones that sort of need to be corrected upon, and the off days sort of work on fixing the imbalances that the squat, bench and dead don't really address and sort of lead people down that sort of scary road of injury. But I mean, bodybuilders, fitness enthusiasts could really benefit from this one. So put a lot of time into this, and we'll call it a lot of market research, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, so if you guys want to hop on that, definitely check out www.pre-script.com. Check us out on Instagram. Yeah, we're slowly leaking out some content.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that we put in our programs.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to work with one of us, we have personalized plus programming. If not, if you're sick of hearing our voices.
Which, I mean, more sympathetic, I could not be.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sick of hearing my own voice. But we have a couple different program options, lower body, upper body, core. Yeah. So check it out, guys. Let us know what you think. We love to hear feedback.
Sure.
And we definitely make changes on it. But let's dive into the episode today. This is episode number 30. All right, so this one, we're talking about mobility work. We got a question in our last episode about how much is too much, when do you draw the line, when should you be doing it, how should you be doing it. So we figured it was a good enough question. We'll hit a
Cheese boy. Cheese boy on the old Instagram.
Which, yeah.
I mean, in the realm of Instagram handles, I mean, wow. I can't believe that one was still available.
Yeah, that's making a statement.
Yeah. I want you to take this first because I feel like we might come at this from a few different angles here.
Yeah, absolutely. So my opinion might be different than what you're expecting, but you're not doing too much mobility. That's what I'm going to say. So too much mobility is very subjective, right?
Sure.
It's person to person. But the idea with mobility is we have to attack it from a couple different angles, right? I think we're moving past that point where we think we're stretching tight muscles.
Sure.
Exactly. We're stretching to get rid of the tightness. It's more so we're stretching to increase range of motion.
Yeah.
Right? And we're doing that in a couple different ways. The ways that, I mean, we attack this in prescript a lot, but this is how I work with my patients and myself as well, is there's active and passive exercises that you can do to increase range of motion. Those active are going to be things like active range of motion, dynamic warm-ups, slight loading in ranges of motion to increase. And then the passive things, I like to separate these two out. The passive things are going to be long static holds.
Yeah.
I think the one that needs to be addressed more so would be those long static holds. That is the one that you can overdo. If you just dive into a stretch, you know, say I'm going to sit on the ground, do a forward fold, throw some 45-pound plates on my back.
Yeah.
I'm going to hang out here for the next 10 minutes, and I'm going to be able to, you know, my hamstrings are going to be awesome tomorrow.
Yeah,
no, that's not how it works. This
is going to be torn.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty scientific that it takes a certain amount of time to make changes in these soft tissue structures, right? So as far as these long static holds go, it's going to take you 6 to 8 weeks to make a real change in that soft tissue.
Yeah.
But the idea with these is it's not like I'm going to hop in the gym, you know, and see you squatting and just hop into your squat rack and be like, oh, yeah, I want to do that. I want to squat 700 pounds too, so I'm going to hop under 700 pounds and squat.
Well, it's funny because you're making this comparison. You use the term, like, you use the time designation, like 6 to 8 weeks to make these soft tissue changes. And if you look at mobility as a neurological adaptation, just as strength is, right? Because we're going to come at this from different angles, but I think we can agree on this. It's like, the idea of like lengthening tissue is dead, but like, let's just look at that, right? Like the progression of range of motion, just as a neurological progression of strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ability of the proprioceptors in the joint to allow your body to be okay with moving into these more threatening and threatening, structurally less stable positions takes time. Just as your body allows you to go in under more dangerous and dangerous amounts of load and still be able to handle it. So I think that too lends credence to the prevailing thought process in manual medicine that stretching is really more of a neurological endeavor than a physical lengthening of tissue.
Yeah, and there's definitely a couple approaches to it. Let me finish making that point I was just making. Yeah, but I'm not going to hop under a 700-pound squat bar and think, all right, if I just squat this now, I can squat 700 pounds, right? So same thing with stretching. If you just hop into stretching and you go overboard with these long static holds, yeah, you're probably going to hurt from it, right? You're probably going to do a little bit of tissue damage. You're probably not going to be – you're going to feel it for a couple days, right? So that's not the idea. It's easing into these things over time and progressions through your stretches, whether that's time, doing different bouts, active, passive, whatever, cycles through that. You need to be progressing from point A to point B, not just diving right into it, okay? And then another point that you just made, which is fantastic, is the neurological aspect, right? Our body's not going to want us to get into positions that we might be a little sacrificed in, right? So if you guys notice in your warm-up, say you're doing squats, your first squat, all right, it's a little tight. Second squat, we get a little deeper. Third squat, a little deeper. You know, as you go through these, every time you go through that range of motion, it feels a little bit better, a little bit more natural, right? It's because you're getting that neurological adaptation, which is a very quick way to make a difference in range of motion from, you know, ice cold to ready to squat. It can happen really quickly. You can see a really drastic change in range of motion, but that's the stuff that doesn't last so long, right? Mm-hmm. It comes and goes really quick.
Transient.
As opposed to these other ways, those extended active holds or extended passive holds, those are the things you're going to make a larger difference with over time.
The problem I have with like a lot of like the zealots out right now, like a lot of it's cool to shit on static stretching. Like static stretching is all of a sudden like the fucking ginger kid in the square. No, he's a nice enough guy, but for whatever reason, everyone's ganged up against this kid with red hair. Like it's bullshit. Because like to me, it's what's going on? I mean, it just doesn't make sense because there's a lot of people out there in the PT world that are like, they'll do a squat and they'll be like, oh, look at me stretch. Kind of like a nose up to static stretching, like just move. But it's like, yeah, that's full range of motion of an exercise. That's not giving me a buffer of a full range of motion of a joint. Mm-hmm. So it's like, get off your fucking high horse and read a goddamn book, because it's so frustrating to see people within the profession trying to make maybe like a tributary for themselves as like the standalone zealot or guru, because they think against the grain. It's like, yeah, I get it. You can stretch, you know, active motion is stretching. I understand that. But that's stretching through loaded exercises, not stretching through potential range of motion of a joint, right?
Right.
So I think we both see eye to eye on the static stretching thing. Now for where I come in, I pretty much treat it like a day-to-day thing, right? It's funny because I treat my mobility work and my training totally opposite. Like I do not subscribe to, and there's some research out on this that's really been floating around with like the RPE zealots, like the rate of perceived exertion.
Right.
And we've talked about this a bit before. Like when lifting, it doesn't matter what you feel like, because you don't know. You should never know what 10 is, right? Like if any of you are interested, I will put up the video of my 330 squat at the US Open. And I thought I knew what 10 was before that day. What I thought was 10 was like 3. Like I can watch that video and say, I can pinpoint like I almost lost consciousness there. And this is in one squat. So I think, but with my mobility work, and I think we need to maybe take a step back for a second. And when we say mobility work, we don't just mean stretching, right? Now, this is something like that's like basically a cornerstone of like our pre-script programs, is that it's a component and it's dependent on where you are in a spectrum of mobility and like immobility, right? Like where you lie on that spectrum. So there's usually a small piece in there at very minimum, but some people that really struggle, you know, on your off days, you're looking at longer holds, whether that be fully static or maybe like more like yoga poses, which would be a little bit more active, right? So that's a little bit more of that loaded end range of motion. But for me, what I'll use is I use gatekeeper exercises. So I have specific movements that are testing that joint's mobility and stability at end range, and I use the subjective quality. So all my lifting, all my squats, all my bench, all my deadlift, like very empirical, very numerical, very very thought out and because if I control all my other variables, my RPE should always feel the same. Should always feel the same. If you come in, you feel like shit one day, it's either, you know, you were out too late, you didn't get your sleep, you didn't get your meals, all these things, all I'm hearing is excuses. So if you don't feel good that day, it's because you fucked up somewhere, right? Or you get your head out of your ass, right? Your girl left you. Don't give a shit. You still got a bench. Like, suck it up, princess. Like, what? Now to 300 pounds is an RPE 6 because you've been listening to fucking Ed Sheeran all day? No, like, don't be a bitch. So, but with the mobility side of things, sorry, I fucking hate. Oh, I love when people ask me, like, hey, did that look like a 6.5? Like,
what?
Did the bar get off the floor? Put more fucking weight on. What are you coming at me with this shit for? Oh my god, it's unbelievable.
I've never been asked that question. Dude, I hope. Oh my god. I hope I never am.
I just fucking walk away now. It's like, did that look? And they're like, oh, it's just, I don't understand. But to flip the script on that, like, my rehab, my mobility, my stability, so whatever you want, we're using the broad term mobility as sort of how we address maybe like our pre-workout function, getting us in good, stable position so we can execute these lifts as strong and as safe and for as long and with as much weight as we can. I use very subjective ratings of this. So I'll use these gatekeeper exercises, single leg RDL, wide stride walking lunge, kettlebell bottom under press, some of those handstand holds you showed me. And I'll base my feel off that. So if I feel like shit, then I'm going to spend more time that day doing work for that day.
Yep.
Right? And I think if you start to notice a pattern over time where there's things that you are constantly having to address, then it's either like take a look at some lifestyle stuff. You know, how long are you going to be? What's your ergonomic setup look like? What's your sleeping setup look like? Are you just assuming bad posture? Are you wearing fucking heels all day? Cannot imagine how much anterior hip pain I've like, it will air quote cured people in my office. They're just like, yeah, don't wear those shoes for a week. I'm not going to touch you. Let me know how your hip feels. And it's like, oh, okay. Then all of a sudden this girl that was once 6'3" is now 5'8" walks into my office. I'm like, how's your hip feel? It's like, oh, yeah, it feels good. And she's been wearing like Toms all week. It's like, yeah, what do you think? Right. So I think using like subjectivity on a day to day, but still having sort of an objective vein that runs through it. And if you start crossing thresholds all the time where it's like, oh, you know, I'm always having to do this stretch to feel good to squat, maybe analyze the other 22 hours in the day and what's leading you to that immobility, that instability, that lack of function that's causing you to constantly have to address, right? Because I mean, mm-hmm. squatting and deadlifting are our normal range, or like functional, we'll air quote that too, ranges of motion. So you should be able to wake you from a dead sleep and drop into a full squat, get into your deadlift starting position, get into a wide stride walking lunge, no issues. So that's how I address it. But again, that's easy for me because I've been at this for years. But one of my first things I would do, like, I wanted to squat to depth and I couldn't. Guess what? How I watch TV. Every commercial break, I would sit in a full bottom as I can, squat, hold, grab like the inside of the shins, drive the knees out and just hold that position. Yeah. Right? So it's just like you said, that neurological adaptation of getting stronger is the same neurological adaptation that has to happen to allow your body to handle more ranges of motion. Absolutely. It's a stimulus, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to actually circle back to what I said in the beginning. I said that you're not doing enough mobility work.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe what I should have said is you're not doing focused enough mobility work.
Sure, yeah.
You could be just wasting your time rolling out your ITB all day. So there's certain amounts of each of those types of mobility work that I mentioned before that we should be doing. And after a certain point, you're just wasting your time, right? So the thing that I think should require the least amount of our time is definitely foam rolling, right? You don't need to be spending 5-10 minutes on a foam roller, no. Right? Maybe 30 seconds to a minute each area, quick over it, you're good there. How I like to structure my mobility activation, I'll call it work, is pre-workout and post-workout, right? Okay. There's things you should be doing before you work out to increase those range of motion. There's things you should be doing after for that long-term effects. And I'll even throw one more into that after is just undoing that daily damage that you kind of touched on.
This is like,
you
know, homework stuff?
This is just to maintain healthy range of motion based upon the positions we're put in on a daily basis, okay. right? I like to call it undoing the damage of life,
okay.
right? So if you're sitting all day...
That's what he tells his therapist. usually when he's saying that, he's curled up on a chaise lounge holding a fucking teddy bear.
Fuck you.
Carry on.
Anyways, look at your cell phone. Look at how you're driving to work. Look at what positions you're in. Are you hunched over a keyboard all day? You're in that flexed spine, internally rotated shoulders, extended upper cervical. You're probably sitting while you do it, so you have that flexed hip, right? So if we're in these positions hours on end, day after day after day after day, and we want to be able to do a snatch, do an overhead squat, do a muscle-up, a pull-up, whatever we want to do, we're not going to be able to do that if we don't undo the damage that we're constantly doing. And I say damage because we're taking ourselves out of ideal structural positions, and we're making our body adapt to something that's less than ideal day after day. So to undo that, we have to reverse those positions. We have to open up those shoulders. We have to extend that upper back. We have to extend those hips. Stand up tall. Use good posture. So I think that takes a certain amount of diligence to do that day after day after day, just so that you can maintain healthy positions, not only in your exercises, but just in life.
See, that's the right? thing. Yeah. There's life that exists outside the gym. And it's funny because it's a gradual process. I know. I've been told about it. I read it once in a book.
Okay.
But like, you made a great point about, like, you know, making these gradual changes and offsetting the damage of life, whether that be physical or, in your case, psychological.
Fuck you.
But no, we got to think. Like, again. But I think, dude, we could scare people straight if we brought in, like, if we showed people, like, x-rays of what, like osteoarthritis of the spine. So, I mean, bone lays down like muscle does. It goes where it's needed. So if you get older and you start to, like, form these positions where now you can't revert back.
Absolutely.
But it's just like, it's say you gained like a quarter of a pound a day, right, to body weight. It probably wouldn't be that noticeable, or maybe even less, like an eighth of a pound a day.
All right. That's like a pound a week.
A pound a week for, you know, and this what? So that's 52 pounds a year, right?
That's pretty rapid weight gain. Okay, I haven't gained 52 pounds in the last 10 years.
So let's go 1/16th of a pound. So you're gaining half of that, right? Yeah. So there's this creeping idea of like obesity that if you don't watch it over time, but it's so gradual, then you don't realize, holy shit, now I'm in a place where, like, metabolically my visceral organs, there's irreparable damage. That same principle exists with, like, bones and bad posture, right?
Yeah.
Like, if my bones are conforming to where my muscles are putting them in poor positions, the bones will actually lay down more bone as to make those new positions more stable. Then you just end up with this, like, pseudo-fusion of your vertebrae. Your joints are just destroyed because you're in a position where they're constantly under threat. They're not stacked on top of each other. They're these arcing waves of massive curves, and bones just will start to spur and form osteophytes. So that's the thing. It's like people don't understand, like, the places they're headed if they don't get a hold of this now. Like, I mean, I know 26, 27-year-old guys our age, that their chin is about 12 inches in front of their chest. Like, it just, it's like, it, dude,
just
it takes
a hunchback,
like,
hunchback of Notre Dame right
but
there.
But, man, like, you have a very small window of time at that age to make changes that will reverse that.
Yeah.
Because if not, it's only going to get worse. Dude, you're going to die 7 inches shorter than you were when you were 27 years old.
I can't afford that.
Yeah, no, man. It's just, like, you won't be able to go on rides with your kids in Disneyland if you keep that up, man.
Absolutely.
Like,
I'm going to go ahead and say, if you can't overhead squat your body weight, your posture is dysfunctional.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch. There's no way I'm going overhead with 255.
I'm gonna maybe upset a lot of people with that, but I 100% truly believe that. If you can't overhead squat your body weight, we should be able to keep an upright posture in that squat. That might be a challenge.
Dude, 255 overhead squat?
Don't weigh so much if you don't want to have to overhead squat.
Then don't go powerlifting.
But what percentage is that of your back squat? So you, a 255, that's
730.
Yeah, it's like a quarter, right? Yeah. No, that's like a third. But
squatting
a little less
G
than
now.
But anyways, what am I trying to say?
Because you can go overhead with my body weight.
Oh, hell yeah.
You can overhead
squat. I can overhead squat almost as much as I could front squat.
That's insane.
So I'm not that strong, though. I'm a whole lot less strong than you, right? My squat's almost, you know, a little more than half your squat. But
you can overhead squat way
over 300.
I don't think I've ever tried an overhead squat.
But the idea here is I'm not using strength to do it.
Yeah.
I'm using structure to do it.
Sure.
right? So you should be able to structurally get your body into these positions to be able to support this weight. Your skeleton can support an extreme amount of weight, yeah, more than your muscles ever will be able to.
Sure.
Right? So if you can't get into that posture, I'd say that there's definitely dysfunction there along the line somewhere.
All right. I'm getting called out of my own goddamn shit.
I know. Jordan's Jesus, like clenching his fists right now. Yeah, holy but,
shit. No, I mean, I think that's a good point. I mean, that's,
I don't think that's an unreasonable claim to make.
That's a, right? That's a good litmus test of high function, I think. Yeah. I mean, I think if you're at that level, you're pretty bulletproof from a mobility and stability standpoint, because that, I think a lot of people in your sport, that benefits you. Mm-hmm. I think that is like 10 degrees of separation away from the amount of spinal stability I need. But it's not like if I had that, it would be of a detriment to me, right? Like, it's only going to help me to be more and more stable if I want to get as strong as I can.
Exactly, right. And that's not necessarily your focus. You're a high-level power lifter, right? You're focusing the squat, bench, deadlift as much as you can, right? So once we get skewed into those higher percentages of whatever our sport is, maybe NFL player, maybe they can, maybe they can't do that, yeah, right? They're very specialized, right? My sport, in air quotes, yeah, CrossFit, the idea is to not be specialized, yeah, right? I want to be able to do everything, right? So an underlying basis is health and longevity. Yeah. For health and longevity, which is far, far off of the side of the spectrum of where sport is,
yeah,
I think you should be able to overhead squat your body weight.
I think too, like, you made a point about like sport. I think you need to definitely step outside the strictures of the range of motion of your sport, which is what this, I mean, that to me is probably your mobility and stability tested to the nth degree, right? There's really not much more difficult than that. So for a powerlifter, like, maybe don't try the overhead squat right away. But I mean, that's what I started with in the beginning. It's like, there's a difference between a range of motion of an exercise and range of motion of joint. That is just the most impressive display of ability of control in end ranges of position of all joints in the entire body.
Absolutely. That is the end all be all of mobility, yeah, and stability.
That's like the final boss in like Mario games. Yes. It's like that's Bowser. Bowser? Like, that's really what it is. But yeah, it's like, if you're a sport, but everyone should shoot to get to that final stage, right?
Absolutely. And I think we're getting a little far away from what we started with.
Oh yeah, sorry, cheese boy.
Yeah, right? But back to actual mobility, what we should be doing. I'm not sure if I outlined this. How I like to outline this. The pre-workout, post-workout. So it's going to be active range of motion stuff, dynamic range of motion. I like to start my active range of motion unloaded. So maybe things like bodyweight squat, bodyweight lunge,
yeah,
lateral lunge, things like that. And then I like to hit the neurological side of it, right? So maybe a little bit of PNF. Mm. So PNF stretches to get that short increase in range of motion. And then what I'll do is I'll go into cycles of that active range of motion with load. Mm. So then maybe I start hitting a barbell, or maybe from there I'll do weighted lunges or something of that sort to make that short change lasts, yeah, a little bit longer,
yeah,
as we're getting into the exercise. And then away from that, that's going to be the passive stuff afterwards. And that's the stuff we're going to have to progress,
yeah,
piece by piece.
Yeah.
Little bouts, you know, over time. So maybe we start doing that toe touch 1 minute every single night. Then next week we do a minute and a half, 2 minutes the next week after that. And we slowly progress that until we can build up that range of motion, that it's no longer a limiting factor in our squat or in our overhead squat, whatever it is. We're just freeing up that range of motion piece by piece. Another thing is the question was, originally, I believe, what is too much mobility?
Yeah.
Right? And the reason I don't think that you're going to be able to do too much mobility is because you're not going to stretch yourself into hypermobility, right?
Yeah.
Hypermobility is not going to happen without genetic predisposition or traumatic injury.
See, I disagree. Because I would say the answer, if the Cole's Notes 30-second episode answer to this question is, too much mobility is introducing mobility to a point of a lack of control.
Right. Yeah, there is a catch.
You cover the base. I mean, you definitely catch yourself when you introduce the PNF stuff. Because that is literally activating in those end ranges of motion. You introduce the dynamic stability. You introduce like the importance of the load into the exercise. But I think I guess the short answer to the short question would be, is there such thing as too much mobility? Yeah, if there's no control of that mobility at the end. That's just like strength with no mobility.
Exactly. It's the only time you can have too much mobility is without stability.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the only exception to this question in my mind, without those two things that I said, traumatic injury and genetic predisposition.
Sure.
Right? So you're not going to stretch yourself into hypermobile positions as long as you're doing the requisite stability work.
And I think, too, the missing piece, and that's something we really focus on, is the integration of strength, too, right? Like, don't just set out on a pathway of increasing mobility without solidifying those new end ranges of motion, solidifying that new perception of like a default neurological normal of these new end ranges of motion with heavy load, right? So that's why we structure Prescript the way we do. It's totally an integrated model with lifting, with stability, with mobility, with static stretching, with PNF. And there's an ascension. There's starting from like the inert, there's working up in dynamics, and then there's loading it with that high threshold neurological stimulus of heavy load, right? Like, if your body is reacting and is tight and just managing body weight all day, then open up these transient windows of that neurological perception and then send a fucking current through it, you know?
Yeah,
put a bar on your back, load that new position. Because then when your fat ass gets out of bed in the morning, but you had 300 pounds extra on your back the night before, all of a sudden your own body weight now doesn't really seem like it's that unstable, right? It's more manageable if you push that threshold higher and higher. So it does become, in all sense of the word, an exercise in plate spinning, trying to keep it all in the air at once. But I think you just need to know the role of each implementation on the objective outcome. Because I put a post about this last week. We don't do this to get better at doing this, right? We're not going to enter a fucking seated forward fold contest at the end of the year. We're going to enter a CrossFit competition. We're going to enter a powerlifting competition. We're going to go play sports against someone else. So let's not lose sight of like that superordinate, that goal that we're chasing. It's like, you know, yeah, you got more range of motion in your hamstrings and you can like, you know, bury your palms flat on the floor. That's great. Does that transfer over to decreasing likelihood of injury in your squat, bench, or deadlift?
Yep.
So being very tailored, like you said, and that's one thing I like about the personalized programming as opposed, I think it's for people who are seeking higher end performance, the personalized is the way to go, because it takes our library and we're the filtration process. We are that distillation process because we've seen it 1,000 times. So it's, you have pain here. Okay. The pattern is instability XYZ. So we're going to mobilize, stabilize. We're going to PNF. Then we're going to require that you do these drills on top of it. So I think for me, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. You got to have all the pieces. Cause I think too many people are like, oh, I'm going to take some time off and I'm going to work on mobility. It's like, dude, then you're going to have to take twice as long if you just kept fucking lifting. Right. And introducing that high threshold stimulus to that newfound transient range of motion. So that was a great question.
Fantastic.
I think it's one that a lot of people ask, because that's what makes Prescript interesting. And I feel like this turned into a fucking Prescript commercial. And maybe that's why we did it. But, but I feel like, because conventional coaching for strength is very easy. Reps, sets, quantifiable. Yeah. So we are trying to alter the quantity we talked about proprioception the other day. Mm-hmm. And we talked about kinematic awareness and that Rosetta Stone of a coach's words into intent through the lifter. And I think that's something we really try and focus on, is because it's the intent, and it's also not losing sight of the objective, right? So looking into the lifter's history, looking into what their goals are, looking into their training frequency, and then sort of putting all that into our clinical brains and then spitting out a personalized, tailored program for that person is the best approach. Because just as a strength coach would be like, oh, you're weak at this position or you're strong in this position, let's program X, Y, and Z for, you know, your accessory movements to build up, in your case, like maybe like aerobic capacity or maybe balance or something like that, or gymnastics movements, or in my case it would be, you know, like a close grip wrench or an overhead press or a front squat or these ancillary supplemental movements. The coach's eye looks at that, and it's, you know, with a decent amount of experience in biomechanics, doesn't take much, but the clinical eye, I think, is something a little more acute. So seeing these pattern recognitions of how people lift, what exercises they're doing, the frequency they're loading, and where they're experiencing the pain, that's a bit of an art form as far as like actually being able to program correctives, right? Because we're programming for the subjective. We're not programming for the objective. We're not looking for you know, for at least in the initial phase, I'm not looking for you to Bulgarian split squat a PR, right? No, I want it to feel better. I want it to move better. So then when you get into that barbell loaded back squat, that moves better, that feels better, and then that number goes up. So I think programming for what matters is kind of what it's all about. So, yeah. I mean, is there too much? Without intent? I think so.
Yeah, I think you're wasting your time at a certain point. Okay, yeah. It's not gonna be, I think, what you just described is efficiency and effectiveness, right? Those are the two things that we want to bring in.
Can we get a mic that we can actually drop? Because this is just sort of stuck on this. I want to tip it over, but
what we're doing is we're taking the guesswork out.
Yeah, because you can do the right thing. You know, you can do something right, but it might not be doing the right thing. Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, definitely. If you can be doing a bunch of shit and you could be taking up way too much time, taking away from the stuff that you're trying to get better at.
Exactly.
Right. I can squat 135 pounds 50 times each day and probably get stronger over the next year. Yeah. Or I could get on, you know, a good linear progression or undulating progression, and I can get a whole lot stronger, a whole lot quicker.
Yeah.
Right. So it just depends on, you know, if your time matters to you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, 'cause, I mean, that's a nice part about like dealing with athletes is even if the time doesn't matter to them in the forefront, it knows it matters to their competition. So then it matters to them.
Exactly. So exactly.
You want to bring all your tools to the table if you're going to invest all the time into competing, regardless of what the discipline is. So programming for what really matters, I think, is huge. And doing it in a way
that's going to happen in a timely fashion.
Yeah.
So you're not just, you know, standing around twiddling your thumbs.
Yeah. You're not going to like go to Bikram with your girl and start wearing Lululemon like some dainty.
Sorry, man.
I can't do it. Yo.
Dude, it feels so nice.
No, it's so funny. Yo, listen to this. I'm going to get some shit for this. Melissa bought me Lululemon like whatever.
The compression?
Yeah. But, okay. Hilarious.
They're not built for gorilla quads. They don't fit, man.
She got me like a 2XL. I'm like, that's cute. Like, I got it like halfway up my leg. And I subscribe that they do not have a men's section. I don't know where you fellas are buying this from.
Fuck.
Brandon Teets, if you're out there and you're listening to this, I'm talking to you directly. Mr. Lululemon fanny pack. I'm just saying.
You're making me self-conscious about my quads because I wear those things every day of my life.
Just not gonna. I stick to the men's section when I buy my unmentionables. You might as well show up in a leopard print thong, bro. Like,
I'll wear that too, but it's under my Lululemon.
Oh, jeez. Now it's a party.
Anyway,
I think that was good. I think it's a good place to close it off.
Yeah. So the last point I want to make before we leave you guys is that if you can't get into stable positions, meaning you don't have the range of motion, you're going to get injured. Right? If you can get into these positions, but you're not stable in these positions, you're going to get injured.
Yeah.
So it's not just, am I mobile enough or am I strong enough or stable enough? It's both, right? Yeah, exactly. There's the ideal balance of both. And with stability, you'll never be too mobile.
Yeah. And because that's the underlying pin behind most people's immobility is that, right?
It's stability, right? Yeah. So that's the last thing I wanted to say.
All right. Yeah. I think we tapped it out. I think it was a good question. We left it separate to the Q&A because clearly we had a lot to say about it.
Yeah.
There goes my cell phone.
and there's the mic drop.
All right. So special thanks to Lunderjack Productions, Kyle,
thanks, Kyle,
all your audio production needs.
Check out Engine Fitness. Use code RXD Radio. Guys, I think it's 15% off. And then, most importantly, check us out. www.prescript.com. prescript.com. Let us know what you guys think. Leave those five star reviews.
Yeah, share it around. We've been stagnant lately. Yeah. I'm going to call them out. BS. There's a lot of freeload. We get the metrics. We know how many listen. We see how many reviews. A lot of you that are just skating by. I'm going to start naming and shaming.
Pay your dues.
All right, guys. Until next time.
All right. Thanks, guys.